40 days of purpose. Well, Andrea's talked about it. Sounds like they're having a lot of fun out there, doesn't it? In kids' church. So this is actually, we're saying it's 40 days because God's able to move and change things in 40 days, right? In our life. And so I talked about that a bit last week, but we're actually doing it for 12 weeks because the idea is that we're doing two messages on almost the same thing, because we really want to allow time for people to get into the right connect groups and actually be in a connect group. So if you're a connect group leader, what do you say if someone asks, can I come to your connect group? Yes! Connect group leaders, what do you say if someone says, can I come to your connect group? Yes! Now, if you're going, oh, my connect group's too big, that's good. Because that means we can get another connect group happening from your connect group. Okay? So just that, Avina will administrate that. Let's give Avina a hand for all the work she's doing. So never say no or go and see Avina. Just say yes. All right? So who's going to join a connect group this week? Anyone? You're all in one. Connect group leaders, you know what we've got to do this morning after church. So visitors, so you know, are you in a connect group? All right, so when we have a coffee, are you in a connect group? Would you like to come to mine? Okay, and so we're going to expand. We've gone from 9 connect groups to 13 connect groups. How cool is that? Graham, come up here quickly. I was going to start my message, but hey, this is fun. Microphone, we got one? You need a belt? He's losing his pants. We didn't need to know that. So Graham, I think you're on. You started Connect Group this week. Very first, you're a new leader.
A new leader. Yeah.
And so you've started. You're in where? Which suburb are you in?
Whitegum Valley. So anybody that is in the Whitegum Valley area and they are not in a connect group, right here.
and so you started. How many people do you have in your connect group this week?
For the first week, it was 7 of us all together.
He says that so like nonchalant. Like 7 people. How good is that? First time. So, but I know you'd like a few more, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, so Graham wants a few more. So join his connect group. And so how did it go?
Well, I thought it went well. I didn't do a real good job on the teaching, I'll be honest with you. And Nigel said, don't say anything like that. But, I had the most gracious people come and with us. And, you know, part of what we're called to do in the body of Christ is to love and encourage and support each other. I had 6 wonderful people that really encouraged me and loved me, and we had a great time afterwards.
So the afterwards, the after party.
Absolutely.
So you had an after party,
yep.
And that went off.
Food and friendship and fellowship. It was great.
Fantastic.
So in fact, we were talking just as everybody was going out the door and what have you, and I said, oh, we'll be back next week. I said, oh, I think it's like every fortnight. They said, no, it'd be great if it was every week. So it's
okay to have Connect Group every week. If your group wants to have Connect Group every week, have it every week. That's fine. We're simply doing the course every 2 weeks, but that's no reason, is there, Avina? There's no reason why you can't actually hang out together and like discuss a topic in the week in between. If your group wants to have Connect Group every week, what are you going to say?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Thanks, Graham. Let's give Graham a hand. Thanks, Jared. Awesome. All right. So... what on earth am I here for? That's what we've been talking about last week and this week in this second series, second part of 12 weeks of messages. So next week we start a new one. And what did I say last week? There's 2 things we're wanting to do in this period of time. What do? We come to church and we go to Connect Group. Yeah. And so 40 days of purpose is designed to get the most out of your life as you direct your life toward God in five key areas. And we haven't even got there yet. I'm kind of doing an introduction before we get to these five key areas. But you were planned for God's pleasure. How cool is that? Second, you were formed for God's family. There's something about coming to the house of God together, isn't there? Something about family. And when we're smaller family in Connect Group, it works so you can get more intimate with people and really get into people's worlds and find out what they're like. The best friendships happen in Connect Groups. You were created to become like Christ. It shouldn't go quiet right then. It's like, yeah, I want the full power of God on my life. I want to transform other people's lives. You were shaped for serving God. And you were made for a mission, which we finish on the last few weeks of this, which is going to be fantastic because it just marries perfectly with our whole Leap into Spring program, which is our whole missions. And so we've got some exciting things coming up with that. The way to maximize your relationship and progress in God is through being in church and going to Connect Group. And what drives, let's start. This morning, I've got the PowerPoints for this, for the title for this morning. What drives your life? What drives your life? Let me read you a quote from Thomas Carlyle. The man without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder, a waif, a nothing, a no man. Most dictionaries define the verb drive as to guide, to control, or to direct. And whether you are driving a car, who likes driving cars here? Who enjoys it? Like some people enjoy it, some people just a chore. You enjoy it? Janet enjoys it, fantastic. You know, I'm hopeless. But you can, who's a carpenter or was pretty good with nails and hammers? Of course Graham is, he's a builder. I can't, Addison, where is that Addison man? There he is, Addison. Wesley Moore. Is there anything this man can't do? Anyway, I'm sure his parents will say, yeah, heaps. But I can't drive a nail in straight. I don't know. I can after a while, but normally my thumb's black. And for some reason, I'm just unco. I just don't get it. But I believe there's nail guns. I might have to invest in one of those because then you can't get it wrong, can you? Well, what about a golf ball? How do you do it? You're driving those things in your life. See, many people are driven by guilt. Guilt-driven people are manipulated by their memories. Why is it so important to get in the house of God and get a relationship with people so you can release those things that are binding you up? Don't allow your past to control your future. God has a purpose for you, and it's never, ever too late. No matter what you have done, God looks at you as, well, what are you going to do for me today? Are you going to come in a relationship with me today? Are you going to get right with me today? Whatever your situation, are you going to give that to me in prayer, those of us who have been mature in Christ? Are you actually going to pray and see God change? Or are you just going to be like the rest of the world and stay in status quo and wonder why things don't change? See, something happened really early on, and which is why we're created the way we are to some degree. Who's glad that Jesus is coming back? Honestly. See, Cain didn't give, his brother Abel gave a great offering, but Cain didn't give a great offering. And he got quite resentful. He actually took it out on his brother, and one day they just thought they were going out for a walk in the paddock. Brothers, don't get any ideas if you don't like your brother. We walk out of the paddock, and the next thing, they get into a bit of a fisty fight, and Cain knocks his brother off. Listen to what God's advice was, because it didn't have to be that way. He just hadn't given the offering that God had wanted. Who today? God has given us everything. And if God has given us everything in our life, the least we can do is bring him an offering that says, I love you, Lord, more than anything else in my life. And so he didn't do that. And so things started to go wrong. And this was God's advice, because he's still able to talk with God. And this is Old Testament, and it's right in the beginning where God was trying to establish himself with the people. And he said this. It's in Genesis 4, verse 7. I think we've got the power. Yeah. The man, it says, sin is waiting to attack and destroy you, and you must subdue it. Is that true of every one of us? Sin is waiting to attack and destroy you, and you must what? What does subdue mean for those of us who are young? What does subdue mean? It means that who's got the authority? Who's got the authority? You have the authority in Christ to push down, you take authority and say, I'm refusing to allow that thing to creep into my world. And as soon as you do that, say, Lord, I'm bigger than this. And as soon as you do that, you are coming into the zone of God, and God will help you through it. Well, we are too mamby-pamby with our Christianity at times, and we allow things to happen that God never intended for our lives. I don't know about you, but things can just, when you're weary and sometimes just, and you start to get a little bit negative about stuff. And you know, we need each other. My wife said to me today, she said, Nigel, I think just take it easy. I think you're a bit tired. And straight away, I thought, I've got to get back in the zone of God. Pray to God. Just thank you, Lord. That's great. You know, the best thing you can do if you're narked about someone, encourage them. Be a blessing. Isn't that Bible? But Cain was unwilling to totally release his wrongdoings to the Lord. And I like the way the New King James puts this. It says this. Let me read it to you. If you do well, will you not be accepted? What this is actually meaning is God saying, if you do the right thing by me, do you know my word? I'm presuming, I'm taking that most of us here, maybe not all of us, but most of us know enough about the word of God to know what's right, yeah? And so if we know enough about the word of God to know what is right, then we need to actually obey the word of God so that we can live in the things that God has for us. That's why we're doing this discipleship series, I guess you could call it. But Cain was unwilling. Got him into a bit of trouble. And he became a wanderer throughout the rest of his life. He never settled down. And yet God was willing just to take him back again. The Bible actually says that he went away from God. He left the presence of God. Church, if we're going to do anything, we've got to go towards God. Because what happened next? Resentment and anger sets in. And it was Adam and Eve who conceived Cain and Abel. And Abel was a shepherd, Cain was a farmer, and Cain was so displeased that the Lord accepted Abel's guilt offering of choice lambs, but not his own meager offering of his veggie patch, let's say. A few Brussels sprouts didn't cut it with God. As resentment builds up. But if Cain had done the right thing, it wouldn't have been an issue. And so, is it any surprise that there's so much talk and so many things about arguing about money and Christians about their money? For goodness sake, God loves you. Give him what he deserves. And let's see your life not actually go from turmoil to turmoil or hardship to hardship, but blessing. God wants to bless us. He wants to pour his blessing in your life. And so as we give seed to God, does the Bible not say that he will pour out into your world? So sin does have consequences to your life, right? Yeah? Sin has consequences to our lives. John's nodding well. I'm nodding right with you. Sin has consequences for our life. But it does not mean that you cannot get back into right standing with God. Oh, what a loving God we serve. Cain left the Lord's presence. Remember I said? He left the Lord's presence. Cain chose to have Could have chosen to have the Lord's presence, but he left. But God's purpose is not limited to your past. He turned a murderer named Moses into an incredible leader who is God's best friend. How cool is that? Let me read you this psalm. What relief for those who have confessed their sins and God has cleared their record. So you can choose to hold on to hurts, but it's always better to let them go. And resentment always hurts you more than it hurts the other person. Your past is your past. If I can say anything this morning, let go of the past and let God. Let God move into your life. Before the end of this meeting, allow God to move into your life and let's continue to see the miracle working of God in people's lives. See, many people are driven by fear. Fear-driven people often miss opportunities because they are afraid to venture out. They play it safe. I don't know about you, but I'd rather take a risk in God. See, faith is what? What are you going to do? You've got to step out. You've got to step into it. You've got to actually move. You've got to say, Lord, I'm trusting your word. I know that you've talked to me, or you might have had a word in church or someone in Connect Groups talk to you. You've really picked up a verse from the Bible and you go, no, I know you're speaking to me, Lord. You have to move with that thing. You can't just go, well, that was a fuzzy experience. I love that. You've got to do something with it. Fear is a self-imprisonment. God has come to take fear out of your life. Perfect love casts out fear. And God did not give me a spirit of, fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. So don't let fear get a hold of you. And if it does get a hold of you for a season, just come and grab some people with you and allow God, beauty of Connect Groups again, and say, I'm going to overcome in that area. Look at this. Gideon was in the Bible. He was the scaredy cat. He really was. Now, there's reasons for that. And so it says in the Bible, some of those reasons, he was the weakest in his tribe and the least in his entire family. So he had some insecurity issues, yeah? And he needed persuading that God was really going to look after him. Because at the time, his family were telling him he was weak. He's like, his brothers were saying, oh, Gideon, give us a break. You know, and you know what it's like with brothers when they come alongside. It's just, you know, boys and testosterone. I don't need to say anymore. And so, Judges 6:11. So when the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and said to him, you mighty man of valor. So God's now comes to him and says, you mighty man of valor. Right? So the angels come. God's come into Gideon's world and says, you mighty man of valor. An amazing thing. Is it little surprise that Gideon was somewhat taken back? Like, me? He's been spoken and he's known as the weakest person in his tribe. But I want to tell you this morning that no matter how weak you think you are or what people have said about you, that you are a mighty man in the sight of God. You're a mighty woman in the sight of God, and it's up to you to actually recognize that God has put the gifts inside of you to be the man or woman that God has destined you to be. And Gideon was weak in the sight of all the people of the tribe, and everyone knew that he was the weakest. He's like, you know, the scraggliest little dog that comes out of the litter. But he became a mighty man of God. Why did he become a mighty man of God? Why? Come on, help me out here. Why did he become a mighty man of God? Because he tested God all the time, but at least he was taking steps. What was I talking about? Stepping forward. Here he is, and he says, well, Lord, if you want me to go and, you know, fight, who was he fighting? He's fighting the Babylon. Anyway, he's fighting these, I've got a mental blank. Anyway, he's fighting these people, and and he says, well, if you really want me to fight these guys, you want me to take them on, then can you please just show me? And he goes, so he cut a fleece, you know, lamb, bar, that one. And And he says, just make the fleece wet overnight, but not the ground. And then I'll know it's you, Lord. So he's testing God a little bit. But what is he doing? He's still moving forward. He's still actually saying, God, he hasn't left his relationship with God behind, has he? He's talking to God the whole way through. Yeah? So, and then he goes, oh, so God does that. The fleece is wet and the ground's dry. And so then the next night he goes, oh, would you mind, God? I'm still a bit nervous. I'm still a bit not sure. And so he says, this time can you make the ground wet? Is that right? Yeah, and the fleece dry. And so God does that as well. And then he's continuing this relationship with God, and eventually he's fighting against his enemy, who are 120,000 strong. How many has God got with him as he's continuing his relationship with his God? He's down from his 10,000 to how many? 300. But with those 300, by now, what's happened to Gideon's faith? Because he's having a relationship with God, because he's continuing to talk to God and saying, well, Lord, you know, I want to change. I want you to be master of my life. And so he's giving God a few tests. But what happens? God builds faith into his heart day after day, and he takes on the enemy, and they're totally destroyed because the power of God came upon him. There is nothing that God cannot do for you. But we've got to stay and obey the word of God over our life. We have to stay in relationship with God, because there are times, are there not, when you are in your life and things are going on and you need the wisdom of God. What about materialism? Let's go there for a moment. We live in a Western world. We've got so much. And when the desire to acquire becomes the driving force of your life, having more will make me happy. Having more will make me feel important. Having more will make me feel secure. Possessions only provide temporary happiness. There's some pretty rich people in our world right now, and they don't look that happy. Your value is not determined by your valuables, which can be gone in an instant. Let me read you this scripture. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where they can be eaten by moths and get rusty, where thieves can break in and steal. Is it okay to have possessions? Sure. It's about our heart. It's about our attitude towards those things. Real security can only be found in what cannot be taken away. And there's one thing that cannot be taken away, which we take to heaven with us. We take it with us through eternity, and that is our relationship with God. How important then is our relationship every day of our life? One thing that no one can take from us, one thing that we take with us from this life, and that's why God says, and Jesus says, and all through the Gospels, work for my kingdom come. Because as we come into the presence of God, we're able to get the purpose for our life, and we take those deposits to heaven with us. Driven by approval. Man, all those guys that are doing exams, how easy is it to go, I've got to do so well because this person's or that teacher or, wow. And the expectation of parents or teachers or friends can control your life. And wake up to the fact that some people are simply unpleasable. Some people, you're just never going to please them. So we don't get our acceptance from people. We get our acceptance from the living God. Your approval comes from God. You were made to have meaning. And when life has meaning, you can bear almost anything. Without it, nothing is bearable. The greatest tragedy is not death. It is life without purpose. So hope is an essential part of our lives. I'm so glad that I have hope for tomorrow when things don't look so good. I know that God can put something into my spirit and give me hope for the day after. And hope comes from having purpose. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a good future, Jeremiah 29 talks about. So let me ask you a question about your own life when you're doing something. And you're not sure, or maybe the Holy Spirit's given you a bit of an inkling. You've got to ask yourself this question. Does this activity help me fulfill one of God's purposes for my life? Does this activity help me fulfill one of God's purposes for my life? And if you do not know your purpose, you will likely try and do too much, which causes stress, which causes fatigue, which causes conflict. You cannot do everything. But God has specific callings for our life, specific things He wants us to do, specific things He wants us to lead that are going to bring joy into our world. Because God knows us intimately, yeah? Talking about purpose. Managers from our bank, we have a mortgage on this property, came and saw me just recently. And they said, "So, Nigel, what is it exactly that you do? Because you don't seem like the other churches in Fremantle, because it's a local Fremantle bank." And I started to say, "You know what? We have seen quite a lot of miracles in church lately." I just couldn't help myself. I don't know why. I just decided he was a young guy, and he was with his accounting, you know, the guy that does all the figures. You know, they always come in twos to bombard you. Anyway, that's not the issue. And I started talking about, man, you know, I was just hearing the other day about this finance. We're going to hear about this financial miracle in the next few weeks from one of our ladies in our church. And I started to talk about that because I'd just heard it from my staff. And then I said, "You know what? We've planted two churches in Liberia, West Africa, as a result of some seed because we've got Liberians in our church." And how cool is that? And then I started to say to the bank manager, I started to say, "And not only that, you know, we have a charity up the road where we help people every day to help them with their needs in the community." And I just keep rattling these things off. I said, "You know, this lady, I think I even mentioned, I didn't mention Elizabeth's name, but this lady, she had 10 strokes, but now God's totally healed her." And he walked out of the meeting and he goes, "You must have a totally fulfilling life." And I thought, like, saying, "That's it, will you come with me?" We get our fulfillment and our purpose because we do the things of God. And every one of you is included in that. Why would you not want to be involved in the greatest organization on the planet? Where you get your total satisfaction and fulfillment when you join together with a vision of the house of God where He's planted you and we do some great work for God. Susan's going to Liberia, I think, in a week or two to go and see our churches up there. That's right, isn't it, Susan? Yeah. So, I mean, how cool is it? A little bit of seed. We go, "Should we try Africa?" Not, you know, I don't know if I really heard from God that much, except I knew we had some Liberians in church. And the next thing, God's exploding stuff. We've got two churches. I'm expecting by next year to have four churches in West Africa. Amazing. Anyway, we haven't got to take up the offering, but can you give me 10 minutes? Is that all right? Oh, you weren't 100% confident. Do not be conformed to this world. Let's put up the scripture. It's Romans 12:2, PowerPoint 17. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what it is, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Jehoshaphat experienced a test from God late in his life. Jehoshaphat was a good, godly king. But the Bible says that he made alliance with a wicked king, Ahaziah. The Bible actually says wicked, uses that terminology. And they built together a fleet of trading ships. But they never made it out of port, Ebion-Geza. They never made it out of port because he'd made an alliance. What with? Things that are wicked. I tell you, if we're going to mean business with God, we've got to make alliances with those things that God's word promotes. We don't want to start making alliances with things, and we get to the end of our life, and he goes, oh, we could make a lot of money. There's a gold export with these ships. And what happened was that they didn't even make it out of port because, well, it wasn't something that God had destined for Jehoshaphat. And what did King Ahaziah actually comes up to Jehoshaphat again? And he said, let's just try again. Let's just do it a second time. This time, Jehoshaphat said, no, I don't think it's going to be any better result. He realized that God was what he listened to the voice of God. Sometimes we make mistakes, eh? Don't we? Sometimes we go, oh, I don't know, but I'm going to try it. Are you like me? And we make these mistakes, but at least if we continue to stay in the knowledge of God and we've got people around us to say, I don't think that's such a good idea. We can't just go off on our own, and that's the beauty of having the house of God, yes? We've got to listen and stay accountable, not only to God, but to one another. Because God's word is clear, and we're going to make disciples. We're going to grow together. So why don't we stand to our feet? Yana, why don't you come for a moment? And then I know we've got to take up our offering. Thank you, Jesus. See, life on earth is a trust to the end. How will you live your life? Let me ask you, how will you live your life? And living the rest of your life for the glory of God will require a change in you. It will require something of you. I want to read one passage of scripture as we close this morning. Why don't we just pop our hands out to God as I read you this passage from John, Gospel of John. Those who love this life in this world will lose it. Those who despise their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And I pray today over every person. I pray, Father, that we would take up the purposes of God for our life and we would run with your vision and be your people in this day. And those things, those resentments, those angers, those things that try and pull us away from your relationship, Father, I pray that through one another and through our relationship with you, that we would stop those things going any further because it's your kingdom that is at hand. And those things we want to follow in Jesus' name. People of God said,